Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America. Happy Saturday. Great to be with you. We've got a good one. As you know, James Comer had some blockbuster revelations this week, including the revelation that bank examiners had flagged the $5 million interest-free forgivable loan that China gave Hunter Biden and his family back in 2017. It got flagged in 2018. Concerns about money laundering, concerns about whether China was trying to buy influence through the son of a major political figure in Washington. Did not look like a loan. There wasn't loan documents. The proceeds didn't look like they were going to investment opportunities in firms that said their business was investment. James Comer is going to explain why all that is significant and also why he's refusing to accept Hunter Biden's demands that he skip a deposition and just go and testify in public. He'll explain why that doesn't work for him. He's not going to get the treatment of an entitled American. I think that's going to probably be the answer, James Comer tells us, but let's wait and see. In the second half of the show, Mike Benz, the executive director of the Foundation for Freedom Online, one of the men who have exposed some of the most extensive censorship efforts in the United States government's history and America's history, one of the greatest threats to the First Amendment of all time. Mike Benz is going to bring us up to speed because there were some major developments with Jim Jordan and whistleblowers and other things this week. The censorship machine goes back before the pandemic, before the 2020 election, 2018 in the military, 2014 on some other fronts. Mike Benz is going to bring you up to speed so you can get the origins and the growth of the greatest censorship machine ever constructed in American history. He'll be here in the second block. And then Waleed Faris will talk to us about Iran, Iraq, Ukraine, Russia, the Israel-Hamas war, one of the greatest national security thinkers of our generation, joining us in the third block, Waleed Faris. And of course, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and get started with James Comer. That's a great way to kick off things. But before we do that, a quick plug for something we've started at Just the News. We've done it the last few years. You love it. We take all of our great sponsors, all of our great advertisers, all of our great partners, and we put them into a holiday shopping guide so that you can get the best offers in one quick, easy access place. And it's time to do it once again. So to all our great sponsors, go to justthenews.com and click on our holiday page where you'll find gifts for everyone on your list or maybe something for yourself. Why not buy yourself a gift this holiday season? Thanks to our co-sponsors from EnviroCleanse, Muzzle Stick, Heat Holders, and so many more. You'll get amazing deals that are for our listeners only. They're unique to the Just the News John Solomon Reports family. Don't stress out. Beat the lines this holiday season. Go to justthenews.com and click on our holiday page to get your shopping done today and save a bundle of money. All right, folks, we'll be back with James Comer, chairman of the House Oversight Committee, the head of the impeachment inquiry, right after these messages. Hey, folks, have you heard of cancer-fighting foods? The American Cancer Society discovered diets rich in fruits and vegetables may actually lower your risk of cancer. Think about that for a second. That's really important. Hopefully, you hear this and run to the store for 5 servings of fruits and vegetables every day. But if you're like me, you probably don't have the time to do that, right? So maybe you should consider adding Field of Greens to your daily health regimen. Each fruit and veggie in Field of Greens was doctor selected for studied health benefits. There's a heart health group, lungs, kidneys, and metabolism groups, even healthy weight. What your body needs is in each scoop of delicious Field of Greens. I take it every day. Sometimes I put it in a shake. Sometimes I put it in my egg white omelet in the morning. Field of Greens can help prevent, treat, and cure cancer? No, but it can powerfully help you out at your next checkup. Your doctor will notice your improved health or you're going to get your money back. Here's the most amazing thing about it. I started using Field of Greens a year ago. My cholesterol is down. My blood sugar is down. My weight's down. My health is up. My sleeping patterns are better. My metabolism is up. If you want to experience what I've experienced, go check out Field of Greens. Jump into the ring here. You're going to get an enormous benefit. And it's so simple. Single scoop, a couple of seconds, healthy lifestyle all day long. Now, thanks to our good friends at Brickhouse Nutrition, Field of Greens is going to give you a 15% off discount plus free rush shipping. All you got to do is go to fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code JUSTNEWS for your discount. That's promo code JUSTNEWS at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code JUSTNEWS. Go check it out. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews.
Welcome back, America. John and his team over at Just the News continue to uncover so many unbelievable revelations related to the alleged money laundering schemes between the Biden family members and foreign businesses. And I think John would agree with me when I say that a lot of this great reporting stems directly from the amazing investigative work that the House Oversight Committee continues to conduct day in and day out. And I think after the latest revelation of a bank's money laundering investigator flagging serious concerns over money that the First Son received, I think it's time to get an update from the source directly. So joining us now is Kentucky Congressman and House Oversight Chairman James Comer. Congressman, thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure.
Sir, you have subpoenaed a number of individuals who are scheduled to come up and have a meeting with you up on Capitol Hill in front of House Oversight, one of which, of course, is Hunter Biden. He wanted it to be public. And Democrats are accusing Republicans of being on the losing end of a political game of chicken, insisting that it be private for the first time around. But I know there's been a set of rules for each of these witnesses who have come forward to testify. Why does Hunter Biden think that he's the exception?
Well, look, Hunter Biden's received special treatment his entire life. Every government agency that should have caught the crimes the Bidens have been committing for years were told to stand down. And they think they can bully the Oversight Committee and reset the rules. And that's not going to happen. We're going to treat this investigation like every congressional investigation in recent memory has been treated. You come in for a deposition, then you do the public hearing. All of our depositions are transparent. We release the transcripts. The only time we haven't released anything in a transcript since I've been chairman is when it pertained to classified information. So every American will know exactly what Hunter Biden says in this deposition. And the reason we have to do a deposition is simple. If you have a committee hearing and that's all you agree to do, and we have 25 committee members, we might get 35, maybe 40 questions in, going 5 minutes for the Republicans, 5 minutes for the Democrats. We've got 25 opportunities with 5 minutes. But if you do a deposition where the Republicans get an hour and then the Democrats get an hour, then the Republicans get another hour, we can ask between 500 and 600 questions to Hunter Biden. We have tens of thousands of pages of bank statements. We have thousands of pages of emails. We have hundreds of specific questions about specific transactions and specific meetings that the Bidens had with our enemies around the world where they received millions of dollars. You can't get all of that in a committee hearing. We will have the committee hearing, but we've got to have the deposition. He is the key witness to all of the Biden crimes. So the subpoena called for him to show up in this office on December 13th for a deposition. I expect to see Hunter Biden in this office for a deposition, which we will release the transcripts in a 100% transparent manner, just like everything we've released thus far in the 9-month investigation.
Yeah. Sir, in the case that he doesn't, I know you're very serious about this. You're prepared to go all the way to court to enforce this subpoena, correct?
Absolutely. We just had a meeting today. I suspect that the House of Representatives will formally vote to formalize the impeachment inquiry. This is the exact same process that Pelosi took during her impeachment. And, you know, they're not going to be able to have a leg to stand on in court if they try to defy our subpoenas. We have conducted this investigation the right way. We've done it by the book, John. We've made sure every I's dotted and every T's crossed. We've accumulated a mountain of evidence of criminal wrongdoing by the Biden family. Now in the final stages. And the final stages, like any major investigation, involve depositions.
Yeah, incredible. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about this money laundering investigators report, because there was something in there that was talking about children of political figures and the propensity on the part of Chinese entities to target those. And Hunter Biden obviously was targeted as what they call a PEP, a politically exposed person. But in this context, with everything that you and John have revealed about the Biden family and their maneuverings with China, it kind of seems like PEP is just a fancy acronym for blackmailable.
Yeah, well, look, anyone that watches the news, anyone that has any level of intelligence knows that the way China has been getting the foot in the door is they've been buying off politicians. They've been buying access. And one way they do that is through family members. And then that way the politician can claim the plausible deniability. They look for vulnerable family members. There's no one more vulnerable than Hunter Biden in 2018. He's on drugs. He's spending money on prostitutes left and right. He's going on $100,000 spending sprees. He's got Porsche. He's got everything in the world, diamond. I mean, he's living a high lifestyle. And they know that he's like selling access to his father. He did it in Ukraine when he got the prosecutor fired at Burisma. So China's like, hey, this is the perfect guy. We're gonna load him up. And the bank examiner realized this. He's like, okay, the vice president's son just got a $5 million wire into a dormant account from a shell company. This stands out like a sore thumb. We want to contact him and see what did you do? What is this $5 million? And he apparently tells them it's a loan. And they're like, they did the same thing I did. This is what bankers do. Oh, it's a loan. Okay, we'll provide the loan documents. They couldn't do that because it wasn't a loan. Okay, it was a wire from China. And then they noticed he said he was running an investment company. Well, it didn't have any investments. So Hunter Biden was running an investment company with no investments. He had a shell company with no asset or no defined purpose. And they're like, this is not good. He's taking 58% of this loan or investment, whatever it is, and taking it out in the form of fees that he and other Biden family members received. Everything in that one paragraph is what we've been saying for the last 8 months. The Bidens had shell companies. They were taking money from our enemies around the world for no purpose. And we are concerned that this is a national security risk because Joe Biden could be compromised to China because of all the money they paid the family, that 40,000 of which went into Joe Biden's back pocket.
Yeah, no, it's really remarkable. Sir, there is now a long body of records that your team has come up with showing that bankers were concerned. First in 2015 at Morgan Stanley. By the time 2016 rolls around, they're sending things to the SEC. Whistleblower complaint. There's another whistleblower complaint in 18. There's these documents. The banking system did its job. It kept flagging Hunter and Joe and James Biden's transactions. What does it say about the Treasury Department and the federal bureaucracy that they didn't react to these reports, that there was no inquiries and investigations that we can find, at least until 2019?
It shows there was a cover-up, John. And I understand banking. And when I first learned that there were over 150 suspicious activity reports, and that was first discovered in the Grassley and Johnson report, as someone with a banking background, I'm like, my God, guys, when I was talking to the oversight staff, this is a big deal. No one has more than one or two suspicious activity reports, and these are criminals that get them. When you're talking about 150, and then we go to Treasury, John, and we find they're actually 170, and then that they are subject of another 50. So there's 220 suspicious activity reports in Treasury flagging potential criminal behavior by one family. If that family is any family in America whose last name is not Joe, not Biden, they would already be in prison. They would have at least had their day in court. Every instance, the banks did what they were supposed to do. We have the bank records. Anytime we see something that stands out, you can bet your whatever that the bank did what it was supposed to do. And they contacted the Treasury cabinet saying, look, our client has potentially committed a crime. That's why they got 170 suspicious activity reports. We have the bank records. The banks did what they wanted, they were supposed to do. And that's why, John, the banks have cooperated with us.
Yeah.
We've been obstructed at every turn. We've been obstructed by the government agencies. We've been obstructed by the Biden legal team. One group that hasn't obstructed us are the banks, because the banks want us to have it. The banks are frustrated that this family's been treated differently. The banks know that this is no good. This is criminal activity. They weren't paying taxes. They were laundering money. They were taking money from our enemies around the world for all practical purposes. The Bidens were taking bribes. And they wanted us to have the information. So I think the banks did exactly what they're supposed to do. It's another example of a government cover-up to protect the Biden family.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Sir, just very quickly before we go, I know that you are treating this with the seriousness of a court case, but it's not. Therefore, there's no obligation for a discovery phase wherein you have to reveal all the materials you have. Is it a political plan going forward or an investigative plan going forward to ask some of these questions pertaining to the documents you have of these witnesses, wait until they answer and then say, oh, actually, I have the receipt?
That's a pretty good guess, Amanda. That's kind of what we want. We have the evidence. And look, you know, you got all these millions of dollars coming in from these shady people in adversarial countries around the world. We have simple questions. What did you do to receive this $350,000 wire? You know, what was Joe Biden's involvement in this particular transaction? I noticed he said he never met with him, but here's a picture.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, the First Amendment. Well, it feels like some days it's on life support with all of the censorship activities between government agencies and private actors, the social media companies and universities and others who want to muzzle your opinions. Mike Benz is going to get us up to speed on the latest and most dramatic developments. There are a whole bunch of them this week. And also what we can do to preserve the First Amendment for generations to come and to beat back this censorship regime that seems to be creeping up everywhere in America. We'll have that next, right after these messages. Angie's List is now Angie, A-N-G-I, the nation's largest home services marketplace. And they're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. That's what you want, right? I'm thinking about building out my basement in my cabin. I've been perusing Angie, looking for just the right contractor to get it done the way my wife and I want it done. Now, Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and right in your neighborhood. That's important, right? You can do comparative shopping. Get started today at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today. The app and the website are free to use. Angie.com or the Angie app. Go check it out today.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Welcome back, America. This has been a momentous week in news. We've lost some huge figures like Henry Kissinger, Sandra Day O'Connor, big developments in Congress, expulsion of a member of Congress for the first time in a quarter century. But there were also some incredible revelations about the state of censorship in America. More and more evidence that our government is stepping on the free speech rights of Americans, from the military to the CDC, and hitting all the platforms, including YouTube. That was a big one that came out just this week. Some subpoenas by Jim Jordan, the House Judiciary Committee, going out to White House officials who also may have been in the game. There is no better expert on the issue of censorship in this great country than our next guest. Mike Benz is the executive director of the Foundation for Freedom Online, and I believe the driving force behind so many of the extraordinary, almost saw-whipping revelations that have come out about free speech infringements in America. And he joins us right now. Mike, great to have you on the show.
Thanks so much, John. Thanks, Amanda.
There were some big ones this week. We go back now. It wasn't just the COVID 2020 election censorship. It starts in 2018 at the military. YouTube got in the game. Everywhere we look, the apparatus and size of a large censorship machine, private, public, government driven, is really sitting before us. Bring us up to speed on what you think the most important developments have been over the last few days.
Sure. So, you know, we've had three things happen in quick succession where Michael Schellenberger and Matt Taibbi published these Cyber Threat Intelligence League files around a network of U.S. and U.K. military contractors who began forming misinfosec communities, essentially little censorship whole of society cells within the U.S. In 2018 to have a sort of Pentagon-driven domestic censorship coordination effort. Then you had Jim Jordan with the Google files, the YouTube files akin to the Facebook files that came out several months ago, which were subpoenaed. And then you had these public hearings just yesterday. So that's three pretty major things in a week, each of which creates its own little cleavages and pressure on censorship industry apparatchiks who scatter from the sun as a vampire does from sunlight. But I should say that perhaps one of the most interesting developments of this has been the popularity of the Schellenberger and Taibbi thesis around the military involvement in the censorship industry. And I'd like to add to that that it goes significantly before 2018. Much of this grew out of the 2014 Maidan effort from the State Department and the military response to the Crimea annexation and the breakaway regions in eastern Ukraine, where NATO declared this doctrine of from tanks to tweets and had developed this whole hybrid warfare doctrine that really gave rise to this 2018 Pentagon censorship network that Schellenberger and Taibbi talk about, which is to say that this didn't just come out of nowhere. It wasn't like the Pentagon just suddenly had an epiphany in 2018 and started setting down censorship cells. This came out of a military perception that civilian-run media would lead to the overturning of the rules-based international order, and the EU would come apart and NATO would come apart if the military did not move into the media.
Yeah. Like so many things in the Biden administration, it started with Obama, right?
Yes.
Surprise, surprise, right on brand. I wanted to ask you, though, because there's something that's so starkly concerning about this, which is that this Cyber Threat Intelligence League, which sounds like an amalgamation between Ayn Rand and Marvel Universe, it's highly dystopic, but it's housed under DHS, Department of Homeland Security. So the nature of this program itself and the fact that it's housed under Homeland Security tells me that they consider those of us who were using the naughty words and the naughty ideas and the naughty hashtags that we are actually threats to national security.
Yeah, this is a common trick that they use. They merge defense, which is supposed to be foreign facing and is empowered to do all sorts of Department of Dirty Trick stuff not allowed on U.S. citizens. They merge defense with Homeland Security. And you see this time and time again. For example, the National Science Foundation works very, very, very closely with DARPA. In fact, many times when the military wants to do a project but has to sort of scale it for civilian sort of commercial grade efforts, they basically funnel a pipeline from DARPA to the National Science Foundation to give it a sort of nice civilian facing front. There's a very similar thing with how the Pentagon interacts with the Department of Homeland Security.
to do very similar things. Now, of course, DHS would be the exact place that grew CISA and would say that cognitive infrastructure is critical infrastructure. But this is essentially the laundering mechanism to bring our foreign-facing Department of Dirty Tricks home.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I think a lot of people think, well, hey, the military can't be deployed against Americans. There's a Posse Comitatus Act, all these different laws that say, hey, military, State Department, you don't touch individual citizens. I experienced the State Department go after my social media after the 2019 things. But are some of these lines, these legal protections we all thought we had, perhaps blurred in this era of censorship?
Yes, they've done the same trick that the CIA used to do in the 1950s and 60s, still does today, but with a lot less oversight, is essentially a money laundering type operation. They conceal things through essentially little cutout shells and pass-throughs, and you can launder from the Pentagon into NGOs and into for-profit companies that have ex-Pentagon officials, so to speak, and into other government agencies that have a domestic predicate to operate. And this is exactly what you see here. Now, from the Pentagon's perspective, you know, there's sort of a doctrine with how our military sees war, which is comprising four theaters. You have the strategic, the tactical, the logistical, and the political. And there are four different ways to win or lose a war. And starting with the U.S. left-wing domestic response to the Vietnam War, where you had student opposition, you had media opposition, you had university faculty opposition to the military-industrial complex, there became an increasing attention to the political aspects that drive war within our own defense sector. This is part of why George Bush the First made sure to onboard favorable media companies like the newly born CNN into the Iraq War. And really made an effort to onboard and develop this kind of whole of society approach to ensure that the political dynamic to war is never the reason we lose. You know, this is the famous line when we did the first Gulf War that we finally kicked Vietnam syndrome. Well, you see this now on steroids with the Ukraine-Russia conflict and really starting out of the original Maidan kerfuffle in 2014 was the military became obsessed with the fear of losing hearts and minds, and that there would not be the political will to provide the funding, to provide boots on the ground. And so the military capture of the political element is something that is now, I don't want to say all but complete, but it is now at such a threatening degree that we are at risk having a civilian-run government, let alone a civilian-run media.
It's frightening.
It's unreal. And Mike, as I was reading through these documents, there seems to have emerged an ideology surrounding censorship. And I saw some phrases like, if we don't get caught, it's legal. And then there was another one that, I mean, this motley crew of big bros put this phrase out there, repetition is truth. And, you know, when I was growing up in school, dystopic tales like 1984 by George Orwell, they were cautionary tales. It almost seems like it's now become a playbook.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds eerily close to a Goebbels quote. It's this is something that, frankly, they know because this is their job. These people's jobs, the people who are in charge of domestic censorship, their professional specialty, their special set of skills is overthrowing governments around the world using these kind of tactics, mobilizing social media revolutions by getting tens or hundreds of thousands of people in a foreign country on payroll through the university system, mobilizing them on social media. This has been a playbook that our State Department developed in 2007 when the smartphone came out. And Jared Cohen, who went on to run Google Jigsaw, which became sort of the censorship arm of YouTube, rolled this out for the State Department. So they're professional government topplers, and now they're doing it here.
Folks, one more good one to go. My great friend and one of the great national security thinkers of our time, Waleed Faris, here to weigh in on the Israel-Hamas war, on Ukraine and Russia. There seems to be some lost ground by the Ukrainians in the last week. He'll bring us up to speed on that and so much more, including national security threats at our own border. We'll have that in the final segment of today's John Solomon Reports podcast right after these messages.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Welcome back, America. We are certainly living in unprecedented times. Two significant global conflicts going on at the same time, and one administration struggling to deal with both. That's right. The Biden administration has faced a lot of scrutiny, criticism, even declining poll numbers as it tries to prosecute the wars in Ukraine and Israel on behalf of our allies. Our next guest, well, it is certain to say that he is one of the nation's greatest security advisors. Dr. Waleed Faris has advised presidential candidates, members of Congress, and of course, wrote one of the most important books of the last year, Iran, which actually lays out what's going on right now. Iran is carrying out a proxy war against the West through its allies in Hamas and Hezbollah. We're so lucky to be joined by Dr. Faris right now. Sir, good to have you back on.
Thank you so much to both of you for having me tonight.
Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on. And I want to get back to the Middle East in a second because you are such a subject expert there. But over the last couple of days, three or four days, it looks like Russia has made some significant or some gains in its military movements. It seems like President Zelensky, meanwhile, is having some problems both with the West. There was a leak about Germany and the U.S. telling him, hey, settle the war, get into negotiations. And maybe with his own military advisors, conflict there. Can you give us a quick update on what's going on in Ukraine, and are the Ukrainians losing a little ground right now?
Well, John and Amanda, basically, when we compare the current war of in Ukraine between Ukraine and Russia, we compare it to, at this point in time, into a static war, meaning like World War One, the last 3 years of World War One in France on the Western Front, British and French were basically in a situation of moving 20 kilometers, you know, withdrawing for 20 kilometers until the American forces came. And then that was the push against Germany. In Ukraine and Russia, we have seen since the stabilization of the front, the first year, basically, not much has happened in terms of gaining territory. The Russians actually withdrew, if we all remember, from the suburbs of Kiev all the way to Russia. They made the only progress they made, which was significant, was, the coast, the Sea of Azov. Now, since then, the Ukrainians were on the offensive. It was a slow, methodical offensive. Then the Russians took advantage of the fact that world attention has turned to the Middle East, as you know. And when that happens, there is little incentive in the West, first in the United States Congress, but certainly now, as you just said in the introduction, in Europe, those forces who do not want to engage in a massive confrontation are, you know, whispering in the ears of Zelensky and others such as Germany and other countries, you know, Hungary all the way open, that it needs to stop. The Russians understand that message as if it needs to stop, we need to gain as much land before it stops.
Yeah, great point.
Yeah. Yeah. And speaking of Russia, I wanted to ask you about this really strange messaging coming out from the Biden administration, whether it's Joe Biden himself or John Kirby. There seems to be a really audacious strand of messaging coming from them with respect to Israel and kind of, yes, you know, giving Israel advice on how to handle their own conflict with Hamas. And I consider the Obama administration's and the accusations made against Obama that he meddled in elections in Russia, in Macedonia, in Libya, but also in Israel. Mm-hmm. And when I also consider the policies of the Obama administration and a thread from that to the Biden administration, and I guess you could even consider it the expansion of those policies within the Biden administration, maybe the Biden administration feels that they can lay claim on Israel, and maybe that's the source of this audacious attitude towards instruction to Israel?
You know, Amanda, you're absolutely right. Very few are asking this question. The global question is, what is the position, the reposition of the Obama slash now Biden administration towards Israel and Middle East? Well, we remember, at least I remember, during the Arab Spring, as we call it, Arab Spring, which was an uprising of the Muslim Brotherhood in the region. What did the Biden administration do? They stood with Morsi against a majority of the Egyptian people and the Egyptian army. In Libya, the Obama administration stood with the Muslim Brotherhood against the Libyan army, the Libyan National Army. Across the board, in, you know, between 2009 and 2016, the Obama administration started this policy of partnering with either the Muslim Brotherhood or the Iran regime that produced the Iran deal. So the 8 years of the Obama administration are the roots from which the Biden administration, as you said, Amanda, have been, you know, been inspired in their policy. So going now to now with the Biden administration, in the beginning, when it started, the raid, the Hamas massacre against the Israelis, there were those statements coming from the administration that we will stand by Israel, whatever it needs. Even the president used those words, whatever it needs, and we're with you. Then gradually and slowly, as Israel moved inside Gaza, then Iranian money was very active, as we discussed it last time, around the world media to influence and start calling for ceasefire. What is the call for ceasefire? Is that for Israel not to take over Hamas and dismantle it? And strangely, as you just mentioned, both of you, we saw voices coming from the White House or from the State Department or from the administration in general that Israel needs to be careful. We are with you, but slow down. How can you be with you and then you slow down? Either you defeat Hamas or you don't defeat Hamas. All of this, I conclude here, is inscribed in the overarching policy of the Biden administration to sign the Iran deal no matter what. So if the price is to slow down Israel, if the price is to somehow protect Hamas from a complete dismantling, be it. That would be the choice of this administration, unfortunately.
Yeah, so well put. Sir, we got 2 minutes left, or a little bit under 2 minutes. I want to ask about this. For most of my career, I've seen a common stance, which is we don't negotiate with terrorists and hostage takers, and we don't pay ransom. That clearly changed in 2014 with Bo Bergdahl. Since that time, it seems like hostage taking has gone up, and the price of getting them back has gone up. Have we entered into a continuous cycle now where we've encouraged hostage takers and terrorists to take actions like what they did with Hamas this past month?
John, you said it very briefly. You actually summarized it. There was a change, a massive change in policy regarding negotiating or dealing with the terrorists. It occurred since 2009 when the Biden administration, when the president himself issued a letter to Grand Ayatollah Khamenei, then the Iran regime said, oh, they need us. So they're not afraid. And therefore, they take and start negotiating to release our people. Same thing happened in Gaza. Our position, our official position, is not to negotiate with the terrorists, but we put ourselves in a very weak position towards Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, that we find our allies in a need to, at the end of the day, and then we bombard them, of course, with New York Times, Washington Post, yeah, negotiate with them. We find ourselves actually overwhelmed in our own principles.
All right, folks, that wraps up another edition, the Saturday edition, in fact, of John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Hope you're getting your holiday shopping done, shoveling some snow in some places around the country. Yeah, that might be going on. But be warm, be merry, and enjoy those loved ones, your friends and family, particularly during this blessed holiday season. We'll be back tomorrow with the Sunday Brunch edition. Ron Johnson's going to be in the house. He always lights things up. We'll have him and so many other great guests tomorrow. But until then, have a great night. God bless you. Thanks for listening to John Solomon Reports. And be sure to check out all the breaking news at justthenews.com. Hey, folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-200. G-O-L-D, gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold. Or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. At Just the News, we break the stories others in the media ignore or are too afraid to tell. We did it on Russia collusion, Hunter Biden, and the security and intelligence failures that preceded January 6th. Our stories have real impact and reach because we stick to the facts. I'm John Solomon. You can help me expand our honest, unvarnished, and unbiased reporting by becoming a premium member at Just the News. You'll get an ad-free experience and exclusive member-only access to events, and you'll be helping us dig up more truth. Join today at justthenews.com/subscribe.